Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do, man. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Service, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we'd like to say thank you to all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And as always, SBN is about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen on demand, you can always do that. Our regularly aired programs are up on most of the major podcast sites. Just search Scuttlebutt or SBN. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, you can do that at castbox.com. And if you subscribe, you'll get notifications as new podcasts are uploaded. And you can always, if you want more information on anything that we talk about on the show, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Later on SBN, you know, we talked with Miss Stephanie Ward from Lifeline Counseling Services about what they can offer our veterans. And we want to replay that interview with Stephanie in case maybe you missed it. A lot of good information coming from the folks at Lifeline Counseling Services. Also, our Blue Water Navy Vietnam veterans may be closer to receiving benefits from Agent Orange. We'll talk about it, give you the details. And President Trump stokes the patriotic fire with a call to outlaw flag burning. Yeah, that should get the socialist flakes burning.
Hoorah!
But also, Veterans Love has no bounds. And of course, Tom's Tirade on sacrificial service. But first, although the Supreme Robes declined to rule on the Ferris Doctrine, which forbids military service members from suing the federales, leaving a gap of protection for our troops and their families, Congress may be taking up the cause. And it's a fairly lengthy article on military.com. And you have a senator that has introduced legislation. Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, has introduced an amendment to the Senate's proposed defense policy bill that would allow military personnel to file claims for injury or death caused by improper medical or dental care or during research studies at military medical facilities. Of course, as we've talked about here on SBN, currently troops are prevented from suing the federal government for injuries deemed, quote, incidental to military service, which include medical malpractice under the 1950s court ruling, which is commonly known as Ferris v. United States. In that case, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that service members fall under an exception to the Federal Tort Claims Act, and the law that allows citizens to sue the government. His amendment actually mirrors some similar legislation that was introduced in April in the House. And under the proposed amendment, troops and their families, because that was a key in the last case that we were talking about, but their families would be allowed to sue except in cases of care rendered at battalion aid stations in combat or at a field facility in a combat zone. So, Tom, I think, you know, it kind of covers the things that you would think would really be incidental to military service. You know, that you've got somebody out in the field who's trying to help a wounded comrade. And whether they're a field medic or they're simply they've been trained, you know, in combat medicine, or they're in a field hospital, you know, in a forward area. So those kinds of things would not necessarily bring the ability to sue. But if you look at some of the situations that have been brought forward to say, wait a minute, we need to look at this. The bill that has been pushed forward in the House, it's actually a Democrat from California, Representative Jackie Speier, who has sponsored the Sergeant First Class Richard Stasekel Military Medical Accountability Act, which was actually named for an Army Green Beret and a Marine veteran who has terminal lung cancer. And as we mentioned, it was because military doctors failed to follow up on a mass found during a pre-training medical screening. So, you know, in a situation like that, Tom, I mean, that's a situation where somebody could have, in the course of their regular medical duties, done that. This wasn't somebody who was trying to save somebody who'd been wounded on the field, and they're trying to do it in the haste of doing something, you know, in a field hospital or a medevac.
Right. That's there's a hell of a difference there.
So when you look at it, in the Ferris case, the ruling that was there said that was put forth was needed to ensure that Congress was not, quote, burdened with private bills on behalf of military and naval personnel, end quote. But when you think about it, Tom, you know, in this case, you know, the cancer, which who knows? I mean, the cancer may have continued to spread, but obviously now it's terminal for the sergeant. But had somebody in the course of their regular medical duties, had they picked up on it, then they may have been able to do something about it. So it's a little bit different. Of course, that's the one that that's the case or one of the cases that the court declined to hear. So the lower court's ruling was upheld, and so it's sort of an interesting path to get here, and in declining to hear the case in their ruling earlier this year, well, it was last month, the justices had consistently said, Tom, that Congress needs to change the law if it wants to give troops the right to sue.
Yeah, but you know, Cal,
I don't know how
if they do that, they're going to open up Pandora's box, and they'll have to hire 5 million lawyers just to take care of the cases, and a lot of them won't mean anything. They'll just be suing.
Well, maybe so, Tom, but I think that's you're kind of throwing up the baby out with the bathwater, because you have people who seemingly have very legitimate claims.
Oh, that's true.
That aren't able. It's not even, they can't even get their course or their case in front of a court to be heard because that door has been slammed shut.
Sure.
The reality is, if the military is going to provide that medical care, not only to the service member but their family members, then why is it any different if the person goes to the military doctor versus a civilian doctor, and the civilian doctor doesn't do what their due diligence is, the military doctor doesn't do what their due diligence is, but the military doctor gets off the hook? It just doesn't seem like it's fair. Congress can write the laws in the way that they need to be able to allow for legitimate claims, I guess, is one way to look at it. Anyway, as always, you can visit the ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Vietnam Navy Blue Water veterans take a step forward on possible compensation when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Hey, check us out on Facebook. Put a lot of good information there. And you can also follow me on Twitter. It's @Cal_SBN.
Hey, Cal, I want to tell you, I had a chance to talk with Stephen today with Patriot Roofing, one of our fine sponsors there. And he invited the old man here to go out deep sea fishing with him Saturday. And I asked him if he had all the gear and everything. He told me, yeah, all I had to do was bring my old raggedy butt and that he would furnish everything else. And he said, by the way, old man, he says, you catch him. And he says, I'll reel him in for you. And I was asking him if he'd let me spit on the bait, You can't fish without spitting on the bait, man.
Oh, well, that's great. I know Stephen will enjoy some time on the water with all the hard work that he's doing out there.
Oh, Patriot Roofing and Home Construction Remodeling is just rocking and rolling. They're just doing an unbelievable job and working in both Mobile and Baldwin County. So I'm just really proud. I know you are as well, to have Stephen, such a fine Marine patriot himself, and his tour of duty overseas and in Iraq and Afghanistan to be here and help sponsor our show to get the word out to the rest of the veterans on the things that we were able to bring forth. But for him to take the time, man, to take the old man fishing, I think that's just cool.
Well, that ought to be great. Just to just remember, it's not a Navy ship, so you don't have to worry about them dropping you off anywhere.
Well, hey, that's the truth. But, I asked him if he had a trolling motor on that John boat he's going to take us out in. he said, no, that was a 25-foot-long boat. So I said, well, I don't guess you need a trolling motor then.
Well, hopefully the weather will hold out for you, because it's no fun being out there.
I don't like to swim.
Yeah, they still made sure you could when you were in boot camp, though.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, I passed that test. But maybe he's got some nice life jackets.
There you go. Yeah, you still don't want to see how good they are. But
anyway. Big sharks might get me, man.
Yeah. Speaking of folks out on the water, the saga of our Navy's Blue Water veterans from the Vietnam era in search for their benefits, their search for benefits may be coming a little bit closer to an end. The Senate unanimously approved a bill to extend disability benefits to veterans who served on Navy ships off the coast of Vietnam. And of course, this could be signaling the end to a really a decades-long fight for both the sailors and Marines to receive compensation for diseases presumed to be caused by Agent Orange or other defoliants used during the Vietnam War. And with the House having approved similar legislation last month, the Senate vote will send the bill to President Trump's desk for his signature. And there are times when the White House will kind of signal what they're going to do one way or the other with these things. Probably the best signal for this particular legislation is that the Justice Department earlier in the year declined to appeal a U.S. Court of Appeals decision which upheld a ruling in favor of the veterans. So it may be that this legislation has passed the House, passed the Senate, and so it may be moving to the president's desk for signature. The legislation will extend disability compensation to personnel who served offshore of the Republic of Vietnam between January 9th, 1962 and May 7th, 1975, within 12 nautical miles of the coast of Vietnam and Cambodia. Those eligible veterans have the same list of presumptive diseases that's already been out there, Tom. So if you've already filed a claim, you're eligible. If you have a new claim based on the information, you can file. The bill also covers veterans who served in the Korean DMZ between September 1st, 1967 and August 31st, 1971, and as well as children born to veterans who served in Thailand between January 1962 and May 1975 who may have spina bifida. So, it's sort of a large number that it would add to the roles who would be able to receive benefits based on exposure to Agent Orange, Tom. But, realistically, Tom, you got to think this was something that was probably going to happen sooner or later, and it's probably good that we're taking the step forward to take care of these veterans.
Yes, that's so true, Cal.
You've also got that the legislation will go into effect on January 1, 2020. However, what most are saying is to go ahead and file that claim, because if you file it now, you may be grandfathered in. In other words, it may go back to your filing date. Of course, this was the sticking point, Tom, but it did get through. The cost is estimated to be at least $1.1 billion over 10 years. The VA says it could be as high as 5.5, but the cost is supposed to be covered by increasing fees on VA home loans for veterans who don't have a disability rating. So, it's kind of like what we talked about before. They're taking from robbing from Peter to pay Paul in this instance, Tom. So you're going to have veterans with no disability rating taking care of the veterans, in this case, exposed to Agent Orange, who do so that they can receive a disability rating. So it's out there, and just be aware of it. If you are one of the Blue Water Navy veterans that were exposed and you have that one of those illnesses on the list of presumptive illnesses, then go ahead and get with somebody and file your claim. Moving on to something a little more upbeat there, Tom. President Trump has endorsed a proposed ban on burning the American flag.
Woo-hoo! Do it!
Well, this has come up before. Congress has written legislation to try take action against people who would burn the flag. And of course, he's gone up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, well, no, that's, you know, that's protected speech under the First Amendment. Last time I checked, burning something didn't qualify as speech. It was an action. The proposal was sponsored by in the Senate by Senator Steve Daines of Montana and Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. And then it's also in the House by Representative Steve Womack of Arkansas. And here's the thing, Tom. It calls for the U.S. Constitution to be amended so that Congress would have the constitutional authority to ban the desecration of the United States flag. You've had comments, a flag worth dying for is a flag worth protecting. It's interesting to see how this moves forward, considering the fact that they've now gone the route of a constitutional amendment, which is what basically the courts have said they would have to do anyway, since they have previously said that flag burning is a form of free speech. So, of course, taking that route, Tom, who knows if it'll ever pass, but it certainly is one of those things you can rally the troops around and get them out on the streets talking about it and pressuring folks in Congress.
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm standing here clapping and kicking and stomping and everything else. I'd like to see them make that happen.
Well, I certainly hope that they will, at least if nothing else, maybe restart that conversation. And of course, I'm sure President Trump will use it as part of his campaign somewhere along the way. As always, you can go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, our interview with Stephanie Ward from Lifeline Counseling Services. Lots of good information there when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
No, sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. A voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And we're broadcasting live from the fantail of the USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. And, hey, you can always check us out on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank all the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, which we are at today, can you believe, live on the battleship. This is the biggest bass boat I've ever been on. Our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly would call it, and Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And we're
and she's here.
She is. We are joined in the scuttlebutt seat today by Stephanie Ward from Lifeline Counseling Services. And Stephanie, welcome to the Scuttlebutt.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here, and thank you for having us.
Well, it's great to have you here. I guess let's get started. Many of our listeners may not know what Lifeline Counseling Services does, so give us just sort of the big story on what Lifeline is.
So Lifeline's counseling is actually a multi-service agency. We have counseling services as well as our 211 services, as well as things like consumer credit counseling and a rape crisis center. So we kind of try and cover a variety of services to help individuals achieve the best lives that they can for themselves.
And this, I know we are targeting kind of the veterans side of things and the services you mark to veterans, but you're open to the general public as well.
Absolutely. And I actually work in the 211 call center, and so that is for the general public, but we do have case management for veterans and a program specifically for veterans.
Okay. So what services, I know you've got the call center and the 211, mm-hmm. But your services go well beyond that. So
absolutely.
If what's the starting point for someone who wants to reach out and work with you?
Okay, so an easy way would actually be to call the local 211, which would be a nice way to kind of a gateway into whether someone wants Lifeline's counseling services or any other services in the community that we may have information on in the 211 database, because we do have information and provide referral services for just a variety of services, supportive services, and community resources. From our call center, we serve the 8-county area of the southwest of Alabama. And so
if anyone were to call in any of those 8 counties, if they hit 211, they're going to reach you.
They could. That should be the way it goes. Hopefully we'd be the ones to pick up the phone. If it's not, they might get routed to another center who would then end up probably sending them back to us if they end up out of state. But they should definitely be able to receive some services from 211, and making it to our center would be absolutely the best, because we do have different services as well that we do provide from that location as well, local ones as well. If somebody were to need some different case management services, we can provide that as well, depending on where they are and what they need.
Now, you mentioned the 8 counties. If someone mm-hmm. were to call and they're not in the Mobile area,
right.
Do you have resources that they can reach in the 8 counties, or do they have to ultimately come down into this area?
Okay, so say someone were to call in and needed to, or maybe they were to reach out, there's also the website as well as they can text as well to find 211 resources if they want to go to 211connects.org to get, if they wanted to maybe self-navigate and find things on their own. But usually you should get routed around to 211 here. And from that point, we would gauge and see, you know, why it is they're calling. Usually people are calling into us for help with, say, basic needs. They may need some utility assistance or help paying their rent or, connections to food pantries in their local areas. Also services like mental health care, medical care.
What about family counseling?
Absolutely, family counseling. Counseling services, of course. And that wouldn't just be, if they were to call 211, it wouldn't just be information that they'd be getting on Lifelines, but they'd be getting it for whatever might be available in their area, as well as Lifelines.
So when someone comes to you, do you try to take a look at the overall picture that they have and see what all you can offer them, or is it more they're calling in for something very specific and you point them just in that direction?
Well, usually the way that the process works, someone usually has a specific need that they're calling in for. And while we're talking to them, we're going to be asking them, like, are you a veteran? Are there veterans in your household? And asking other kinds of questions, listening, engaging in active listening, finding out, you know, like they may mention, you know, I can't pay this bill because I lost my job. And so we'd be connecting them to you know, agencies that may be able to help them with that need as well, and asking them, you know, just kind of following up and really paying attention to what that person needs, caring about what it is that they're going through, and then offering as much as we can and support, and always the opportunity to follow up with us and to kind of build a relationship there as well.
Now, I know you're open to the broader community, but do you have a lot of contact with veterans or veterans coming in to seek your services?
Absolutely. We have a veterans initiative that began in November of 2017, I believe, through the Community Foundation. And since that time, we have had over 700 veterans contact or get in touch with our 211 call center, and have been able to connect them to different area resources that are there specifically for them. And we also do engage in outreach activities as well. In that sense, I was able to go to the opening of the VA center down on DeMetropolis when that happened. So that was neat.
Yeah.
And also, because at this call center, we also do National Suicide Prevention Lifeline calls. And having that as well, if there's a veteran in crisis, yesterday actually a bunch of us 2-1-1 call specialists were able to attend a mental health first aid class just to kind of go ahead and get ourselves as educated as we possibly can, as prepared as we possibly can to serve those in need who do call into our, you know, to get assistance from us or with us.
That is outstanding. So you mentioned being there when the clinic opened. Do you coordinate with the VA? Is that one of those paths that you might lead a veteran to?
We can advocate on behalf of callers, and we have done that in the past with different area agencies. We have had cases where we've reached out to, you know, say there was a homeless veteran that needed help, you know, getting in touch with the right agency to get them housing. We've done that for them, and we will do that. We will take that that position and go ahead and offer that direct connection to different area agencies that may be able to help.
Outstanding. So it really is, you're kind of almost like a one-stop shop for the resources that a veteran or someone else in the community
might
need.
I think of it almost like a hub of where you can kind of go in and get connected to wherever it is that you might need. And a lot of the time, people just don't know what's out there. And so for us to hear a need and say, you know what, there's help for that, that's shocking to a lot of people. Because mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, I didn't know that I could get help for that. And so that's kind of amazing when someone kind of calls in for one reason and is able to resolve a bunch of issues in their lives. And you know, you, especially when we get to follow up with them and find out what happens and get that kind of good, happy ending story, which is really great.
Well, Stephanie, we thank you for joining us. Thank you for everything that you're doing with Lifeline and everything you're doing to help our veterans. What's the easiest way for somebody to reach out if they need some of your resources?
Okay, easiest way, just dial 211. And if you want to get in touch with our local office, it's 251-431-5111.
Wonderful. Well, Stephanie, I know this was your first time, but you did a great
Thank you.
Yes, you did. Yeah, awesome job.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade, all that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Each day seemingly brings new revelations against Hillary Clinton and her private email server scandal. Like many of the investigations into what can only be described as the ongoing Billary corruption complex, the current controversy over her use of a private, uncensored email server for official government business grew out of the efforts to get to the truth of a very different matter. In this case, members of Congress trying to get the truth from Clinton about the Benghazi attacks. As with many of the prior scandals, the MO for the Clintons, when they have been caught, is to blame some phantom menace from the extremist right wing, claim they know nothing about it, or they just heard about it on TV, obfuscate and drag their feet while getting their story straight or rearranging the facts to match their lies, kill anyone who won't get in line, and play the victim card as a last resort. Meanwhile, in a story that has received much less press, a decorated Marine officer who has deployed 4 times faces discharge from the Corps he loves because he used his personal email to send a single classified report as an urgent warning when Marines' lives were at stake and time was the essence. The stateside warning from Marine Reserves Major Jason Bresler to FOB Delhi in Nowzad, Helmand Province, Afghanistan, went unheeded. As a consequence, 3 young Marines were shot to death as they worked out in the gym by an Afghan team brought on the base by a corrupt and duplicitous pedophile police chief. The only person to be investigated in the aftermath of the killings is Marine Breisler, who only sought to prevent them. Breisler is a Naval Academy graduate who served in Iraq and Afghanistan and left active duty to join the reserves while working as a firefighter. Ironically enough, with New York City's Fire Department's Elite Rescue 2. He also continued his education and was in a graduate school class on July 25, 2012, with his laptop open when he received an email from Marine Major Andrew Terrell, with whom he had served at FOB Delhi in 2010. The email subject line immediately caught his attention. It read, quote, "Important, Sarwar Jan is back." Now, although that might sound like the title of the latest Star Wars films, Jan had been a police chief near FOB Delhi, a very corrupt one, involved in everything from drugs and arms trafficking to assisting the Taliban in running a child kidnapping ring, enjoying the fruits of his labor as he desired, all with the help of U.S. taxpayer development money. But he had connections to then Afghan President Hamid Karzai and protection as well. Armed with mounting evidence of Jan's corruption, Resler and Terrell kept pushing and were finally able to pressure the provincial governor into removing Jan from his post, a rare and notable bright spot in the bloodiest province in the bloodiest year of the war. Faced with the possibility of Jan reestablishing himself with the new Marines at FOB Delhi, and at the request of his fellow Marine Terrell, Bresler did what Marines are taught to do from day one at boot camp: improvise, adapt, and overcome, and take care of your fellow Marines. So Bresler searched the contents of the computer in his possession for anything on Jan and found an intelligence report prepared by Marine Intelligence with information provided by Bresler and Terrell. Bresler had kept a copy along with other necessary operation reports on the personal laptop he used in the war zone, not because he wanted to be able to hide the contents from future congressional investigators, but, and hear me loud and clear on this, because the Marines had not provided him with one. Now, in the moments after he received the urgent message from Terrell, Bresler decided it was great luck that he had downloaded the hard drive from that laptop onto his new one. He fired off the report to the email address that Terrell had provided for a Marine in Afghanistan, giving no thought to the document's classification. Quote, "I just reacted the same way that I would in a gunfight, the same way I would at a fire," he said in the court papers. Bresler asked the Marine recipient to confirm that he received the message, wanting to assure that the information made it into the right hands. When he got no response, he emailed him again. This time, the Marine responded, saying Bresler had sent him a classified document by a private civilian account on an unsecured server. Bresler emailed back saying, quote, "It was the only way to get to you." Nonetheless, after class, he used his lunch break to call a Marine higher-up to report himself. The higher-up answered, and Bresler made no excuses. 2 weeks later, he would receive another email reporting not only was Jan on base, but it was one of his slave boys who had killed three Marines while there. Bresler was reprimanded for the security breach, but when he began to ask questions as to why no one was investigated for failing to act on his warning, the brass turned their sights on him, seemingly trying to drive him from the Corps. In what can only be called a kangaroo court, two generals, neither of whom sat in on the hearings, recommended that he be discharged from the Corps. Their willingness to make a decision in light of the proceedings added to suspicions that the outcome was already decided. President Lawyer argued that the Marines were seeking to punish a whistleblower. "Maybe my buddy Navy Secretary Mavis will see that and do the right thing." Ironically, the intelligence officer who prepared the Jan report left the Marines and, get this, went to work for the State Department. Who knows if one of her reports for her new job will be found in the email of the former Secretary of State. Probably the cruelest twist is that the quick response of a Marine officer following his training and instincts in order to serve his fellow Marines had cost him dearly. Although he will no doubt continue to serve with distinction and honor, had someone followed up on the warning, three Marines would be alive today. Just suppose that with the inaction of Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, while our consulate in Benghazi was under attack, resulting in the deaths of four Americans, including our ambassador and two Navy SEALs, we have since found that not only did she lie about her actions with regard to the event, but she has likely participated in the extensive cover-up, culminating in the discovery of her private email server. Of course, Clinton could still become president after her email scandal, and no matter how much classified material is found in her personal email server, Hillary Clinton will continue campaigning to become our next president because it is her only real way to survive this scandal outside of pardon by Obi. I doubt that Marine Bresler will have such divine intervention. But such is the nature of true sacrificial service. While that Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Just something to think about. But what did he do that Hillary did?
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Load up, sir! Load
up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, streaming live on 106.5 FM and on the ScuttlebuttNetwork.com, along with Tom Claxton. I'm Cal Walters. A couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom pulled that one out of the archives, not only because it has some information that is still very pertinent to what's going on today, but also the case, the court-martial against Special Operations Chief Petty Officer Eddie Gallagher began yesterday. He is accused of killing a teen ISIS detainee in Iraq and numerous other war crimes during his deployment in 2017. He has pled not guilty to premeditated murder and aggravated assault charges. You know, his is a situation where even his confinement, where he's been confined, how he's been confined, access to attorneys, all of that has come into play in his case. There are some that are saying, Tom, that they are hoping that that if something were to go wrong and he is convicted, that there would be a pardon waiting for him. And so it's just one of those situations where the court-martial has begun. There have been some things back and forth. I think one of the prosecutors was removed at one point. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how it plays out. The jury pool was made up of four sailors and eight Marines. Five of them were officers. So there have been a number of folks who have come to his defense, and so hopefully we'll be able to get to the truth of this. Just real quick, there's an interesting story, and it was actually WKRG out of Mobile, Channel 5 covered it, but it's after 75 years, a World War II veteran, K.T. Robbins, he rediscovered a lost love that he... an 18-year-old woman and two children in France. They began a courtship, but then, of course, he was shipped out somewhere else. He went on to marry. She went on to marry. He went back this D-Day and found her again. So it just means it tells you that love never goes away. But anyway, Tom, that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hope that you'll join us again soon. And please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!